Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing? Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw View, the show here at youtube.com/Steve Larson, where we take old pay-per-views, preferably crap ones, or historically significant ones, and we review them. And we choose, each of us chooses three on any given week. We put them up for vote for our $10 and up a month patrons, and they vote on which one we review. You can do that at patreon.com/Steve Larson. We also have other reward tiers ranging from $1 to $5 all the way up to $200,000, which isn't a real tier. Actually, $50 is our actual, like,
our highest real actual tier.
You get a t-shirt and a bunch of other crap. We're also available on at Pro Wrestling Tees, prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw right now. Where we've got a couple new designs, and we're banging these things out.
Yep.
All sorts of great designs there, so check those out. So, today, we're going to talk about WCW Halloween Havoc 1991. This was certainly an odd time for WCW.
Yeah. It's interesting, this early 90s WCW, there's a lot good going on.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of weird stuff going on.
To me, that is music to my ears. Weird wrestling is my favorite version of wrestling.
Yeah.
Now, this wasn't quite... This is kind of, so when you get towards like 1989, they suffered a massive blow when Ric Flair left. So this is when Ric Flair was in WWF. He had left about 4 months earlier or so.
And he took the NWA world title with him, right?
Right, yeah, exactly. So the big gold belt that we all grew to know and love over the years, Ric Flair took that with him to WWF. And at the Great American Bash, they were without a title. And so Dusty Rhodes had to use his, I think, Florida Championship Wrestling or Championship Wrestling in Florida, something like that, that title. And they awkwardly screwed some plates on top of it with the words World Championship Wrestling on it. By the time we got to Halloween Havoc, however, the new WCW World Championship they had created it.
Yes.
They crafted it. And Lex Luger won that against Barry Windham when the title was vacated in Flair's absence. And so he walked into Halloween Havoc 1991 as WCW champion. This was, like you said, this is a really weird pay-per-view. It kicked off with an infamous Chamber of Horrors match.
Hold on. There's a lot that happened actually before that match started. Your commentary team and host for the evening, Jim Ross, Tony Schiavone.
Yeah,
instantly there was talk of the WCW Halloween Phantom.
Oh, yeah, they were big on the Halloween Phantom.
Is the Halloween Phantom? Nobody knew.
Nobody knew.
But we would find out during the show.
Once he showed his masked, once you saw one glimpse of his masked head, you knew exactly
who
he
was. Oh, yes. No doubt who it was.
Talk about the intro.
Oh, yeah, the intro is the exact same as Halloween Havoc 92, which we watched previously.
Yeah.
But some of the pictures of wrestlers, I think, were different.
Well, yeah, they had some roster turnover.
But the background was all the same.
Yeah.
Very early on, Barry Windham was attacked in the parking lot.
That's right.
So we go to Eric Bischoff in the parking lot in a tuxedo.
Hold on a second. So maybe I split up my notes again because that's right. I forgot about that.
So he's out in the parking lot. First to pull up is Cactus Jack and Abdullah the Butcher.
Why was Abdullah the Butcher wearing like a nerd Halloween outfit? Oh, because maybe it's Halloween. He was dressed up like nobody else was acting. Well, okay, Bischoff was dressed up like a vampire.
Yeah, Missy it's Hyatt funny. Was dressed up as something.
What's funny is that it didn't take much for Bischoff to look like a vampire. Like he put on a cape and it was Bischoff. It was a vampire.
Pretty much.
He kind of already looks like a vampire.
So next was Diamond Dallas Page and the Diamond Stud Scott Hall.
Let's go back there. That does bum me out though, because the next Halloween Havoc reviewed or 93 or 92, whatever it was.
92, yeah. The very next year.
When Jesse Ventura was at commentary, he had a Halloween costume on.
Well, he had a cape on.
He had a cape on. What was he? Like a vampire also?
Yeah. But he just had a cape on, I think.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, yeah, I like that Bischoff was hanging out outside, and there was no indication that it was actually the valet. It looked like they were at a park of some sort.
Yeah, could be. Next, after DDP and Scott Hall, was Barry Windham and Dustin Rhodes.
That's right.
Who drove up together. Right as Windham's about to get out of the car, he was attacked by Arn Anderson and Larry Zbyszko, the enforcers.
I like that. Now, I have no idea how they got together as a team. Was Larry ever a horseman? He wasn't, was he?
I don't think so.
I don't think he was either. I like, because Arn Anderson's nickname was, of course, the enforcer. So I like that Larry Zbyszko, you know, said, hey, let's be a tag team, but what should we call ours? Well, they call me the enforcer. Oh, perfect.
I'll be one of those too.
No, I'm the enforcer.
Yeah, but I'm going to be an enforcer too.
All right, Larry, let's just do this.
How about this? Living Legends. You can also be a living legend, Arn.
That's just your nickname, Larry.
Well, your nickname's Enforcer. I like that. I want to be Enforcer, too. We are Enforcers.
You know what, Larry?
So pretty much instantly, Barry Windham was attacked by Arn and Larry Zbyszko. They slammed the car door on his arm.
Mm-hmm.
Right away, either Dustin or Barry says, oh, his arm's broken, or, oh, my arm's broken.
Yeah.
So Dustin Rhodes hops in the driver's seat. Barry Windham moves over to the passenger seat. They take off for the hospital.
Well, yeah, that's what you do in that situation.
Back to JR and Tony.
Yeah.
And then we get the Chamber of Horrors cage match.
And we get to see the Halloween Havoc set. Now, over the years, the Halloween Havoc set became pretty iconic in WCW lore. This was an early version of... When was the first Halloween Havoc?
89.
So it was only 2 years prior to this.
Yeah, this is the third one.
One day we'll have to take a look at the 1989 set.
Yes.
Because this was a very, very podunk set.
Yes, but they had the Halloween Havoc logo already.
Yeah,
that
they already had
place.
The logo.
I kind of feel like Halloween Havoc is going to be a pay-per-view that's going to keep giving for us.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No,
I
want to keep on going back to it.
Any year's Halloween Havoc, and there's... good, weird stuff
it's
happening.
It's always weird, and that's what I like the most. So they had, like, a bunch of, you know, like they do, the set is kind of like a graveyard where they have all sorts of tombstones lined up and various... maybe they took inspiration from the House of Horrors Simpsons, where they would do, like, what they thought were clever things on the tombstones.
Yeah.
The house, the actual haunted house backdrop thing where people would come out from the front door looked... so high, like barely, like I would say middle school play production, you know, like middle school theater production.
Yeah.
Looked really bad. And then I like that when anybody would come out, you'd see the freaking stagehand who didn't do it. Like, it's not like somebody got behind the door and opened it up. There's some guy with a headset on and a fanny pack walks up and closed the door.
Let me ask you something.
Okay.
Does this bother you? Because they had the ramp that went all the way to the apron on the ring.
Yeah.
And whenever there was a cameraman standing on top of the ramp and you could see it in the background, that really bothered me because I felt like there was someone running down the ramp to join the match. At first.
I never got that effect.
Okay.
That's interesting. I could see how you would, though.
Anyways,
let me ask you this, though. What do you think about the ramp leading directly to the ring?
Oh, I like it.
I really like that. I wish they'd do that again.
Yeah, me too.
That was pretty cool.
So the Chamber of Horrors match was a cage match. There were how many coffins in this cage? Four?
Oh, I didn't notice that there were any coffins. Oh, yeah, there were, because, yeah, that's right.
There,
yeah.
Was,
oh,
there
I didn't
people
notice,
inside
yeah.
the coffins that would come out yeah. and attack people. I think there were four, one in each corner.
I was so mesmerized by the fact that there was a working electrical chair,
We'll get to that in a second.
In the middle of the room.
So the competitors in this Chamber of Horrors match was El Gigante.
El Gigante.
Who was eventually, after this, I believe, Giant Gonzalez in WWF.
Yeah, that's correct.
The Steiner Brothers.
Yes, correct. One of which was just coming back from an injury.
Scott. He said.
Scott, yeah.
Sting.
Sting. Out of place in this match. He was already a big name. Why was he in the Chambers of Horrors, man?
I know. And their opponents were Vader.
Hold on. Oh, yeah, that's right. This was two teams. Okay.
Yes. Vader. They introduced
you never
them out
really
of order.
Know it until the finish came around.
They when they introduced people, I think they did Cactus Jack first, all the faces, and then the rest of the heels.
Yeah.
Anyways, heel team, Vader, Diamond Stud, Cactus Jack, and Abdul the Butcher.
Nice.
So everybody's introduced. They brawl all over the place for a bit. Everybody gets in the cage. They close the door. You notice right away they're touting this new technology they have.
Referee.
Which is the referee with a hockey helmet.
The referee.
With whatever the 1991 version of a GoPro is.
You know what? I was actually, I was impressed.
Yeah, I was too.
Because number one, the helmet, although it looked goofy as crap on Nick Patrick, it wasn't that big.
No.
The quality of the image was actually pretty decent.
And he had a bunch of cables. You know, like
right,
helmet,
I know exactly.
Trailing behind them.
So this was actually kind of an impressive getup.
Yeah,
I'm sad they didn't bring back the referee cam.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of brawling. The people are on the floor.
It's a mess.
People are that are in the coffins come out and start attacking people just kind of randomly.
And then there's at one point there's some ghouls that walk from the back.
Yeah,
that
happens.
The ring.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, yeah. At first they lower the chair of torture, the electric chair.
It's an electric chair. But there's even, and they can call it what they want. It's obviously an electric chair. And then there's even a switch for the electric chair.
Did you notice when they cut to the switch initially, the lever is in the on position? Because on top it had a sticker that said off, but it was in the opposite direction.
Oh, God. That's good. That's great. That's awesome.
At least I think so. I would assume that it whatever side was labeled off,
yeah.
You put the lever up to that side or down to that side, and that's what the position is.
A couple of highlights from my notes involve one of the Steiners blasting an already bleeding Cactus Jack with a kendo stick. That
yeah,
kendo
broke
stick.
It, broke it over his head.
And it, like, incinerated. It, like,
it was Scott Steiner that did that.
Yeah, it shattered. It was great.
Did you notice that when they lowered down the chair of torture, everybody seemed confused?
Well, yeah.
They had to take a moment to remember the rules.
Yeah.
What they talk about backstage. Oh, this is how we got to finish this match.
Well, yeah, the rule, I mean, the person who wins is the one, or the person who loses is the one who gets placed in the chair.
Yeah, and electrocuted.
And electrocuted. I mean, from what I understand, electric chairs are designed to execute people. That's its only purpose.
Yeah.
Although, I from what I understand, in the past, there's been some botches on that as well.
That is true.
Yeah.
So not only was Cactus Jack busted open, but Abdul the Butcher was as well, and maybe Sting? I couldn't tell if Sting definitely had blood on him. I couldn't
tell
if
it was. So here's the deal.
Abdullah's or if it was his own.
Sting was bleeding.
Okay.
And Abdullah was bleeding on him as well.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Read up on Abdullah the Butcher and bleeding and hepatitis C.
It's not good. None of it's
read
good.
Up on it.
None of it's good. So, yes, this match is a huge mess. The finish sees Abdullah trying to put Rick Steiner in the chair.
He's so close to getting Rick Steiner in the chair, but Rick Steiner reverses it with the most awkward belly-to-belly suplex I've ever seen because he had to belly-to-belly the guy
into a chair.
180 degrees into the chair. So he kind of just gently lifted him up and put him in the chair.
And while all this is happening, Cactus Jack is over by the lever to pull it. To push it up to the off position, I think. So someone could get electrocuted.
Yeah.
So Rick Steiner reverses, straps Abdullah to the chair.
Cactus Jack doesn't realize.
But he's looking at the chair the whole time.
Yeah, I know. He keeps on looking back at it. But the idea was he thinks Rick Steiner's in the chair, turns around to flip the lever, and in that span of time, Rick Steiner has put Abdullah the Butcher in the chair, and Cactus Jack inadvertently electrocutes his own guy.
Yes.
But not, like you said, you can clearly see in the background Cactus Jack staring right at what's happening. So anyways, he electrocutes his own guy.
Yeah.
And it is one of the most gruesome images. Like, in terms of wrestling, it's really snuff filmish.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can see pictures online, and the still pictures look even worse. But it's just Abdullah the Butcher sitting in an electric chair, because I think, don't they strap him down too? Yeah, they strap him down. And he's just doing this stuff, and they do a really...
There's sparks flying.
It looks really good.
And then they cut to a shot of a piece of something on fire.
Yeah,
the ring mat.
Yeah, the ring mat had like a couple... And Nick Patrick, God love his soul, starts stomping in all the fires, putting him out, so good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty gnarly. Anyways, the Abdullah Butcher gets electrocuted, does not die.
They raise the Chamber of Horrors, people start to leave, and then Abdullah... comes to.
Yeah.
Not dead.
He no-sells death.
Yeah, and he starts attacking Cactus Jack.
Yeah.
And they get out to the ramp area. He starts attacking all the ghouls.
Yeah. Because, yeah, at some point, these got ghouls. They're just, like, dudes dressed in white with some, like, white powder on their faces. They bring out...
A stretcher,
that's right. And he starts attacking them. At one point, he sort of stumbles over one that was selling. Like, the dude went down... Abdullah stumbles over him, and for a split second, it looked like he got pissed because he turned around and he starts stomping on that guy. And I don't know if it was legit or not, but it looked like he got pissed that he stumbled over. I could be wrong about that. So anyways, yeah, him and Cactus go out fighting, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cut to the announce team, I believe. Shivani, JR is talking. Shivani's cracking up about something in his headset. I don't know what it was.
They both were, a couple times they were laughing at stuff.
And then JR and him catch eyes, and JR starts to crack up a little bit, too.
Yeah, I noticed that, too. After that, we go to Vampire Eric Bischoff and Missy Hyatt backstage, wondering who is the Halloween Phantom.
Yeah, man.
It's the question on everybody's mind.
It's a big, big deal here.
And then they interview the Young Pistols.
Yeah, this was Tracy Smothers and Bob Armstrong, I think.
Steve Armstrong,
one of the Armstrongs. Oh, you didn't know which Armstrong it was.
That was Brian.
Yeah, that is Brian, exactly, correct, Brian James. So, yeah, they're being interviewed, but they didn't actually fight.
No, they were talking about wanting to be tag champions.
They wanted to be the United States tag champions.
Yes.
Because back then there was United States tag champions.
And world. But the world tag titles weren't defended.
Correct. Next up, we did, however, have the Creatures. I looked up the Creatures, and it was names I didn't know. They were taking on, this is my favorite, I forgot about this name. My favorite name in all of pro wrestling, PN News. What a great name. What a great gimmick. And that dude can old school rap.
Yeah.
Did you notice that? That was great. So... it's the Creatures, who are like some lucha-looking guys, like some twinning lucha guys. And then they took on PN News and Big Josh. Big Josh, of course, was Doink.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was Matt Osborne, something like that. Anyways, that was Doink.
Huh.
And but PN, so it was like an oddball. They even made reference to this. They said this is an oddball tag team. It's like what do they call them, the Odd Couple?
Yeah.
What was that movie? Was that the Odd Couple?
Yeah.
Something like that. Anyways, PN News gets in there. PN News is this giant human. He's a big hoss dude.
Yeah.
Wearing a bright green outfit. And his gimmick was late 80s rapper guy.
Yeah.
And he was dropping some old school sort of Beastie Boy-esque rapping on people. It was very impressive.
Yeah.
Big Josh, he looked cool too.
Yeah, he was ripped.
He was ripped.
When you said that he was eventually Doink the Clown, I was taken aback because Doink never looked that muscular.
No, if I recall correctly, he had like a big gut.
Yeah.
Not like a huge one, but like a bigger one.
Yeah.
You know what my favorite Doink moment was when Doink showed up in ECW, but he was like kind of psycho Doink. Shane Douglas was dropping a promo, and Doink was sort of turned away, and then he turns around, and it's like his makeup was all runny, and like his hair was his hair, so he's like balding, but he like kind of painted it green.
Oh, that's cool.
It was very dark. It was very cool. And it was sort of, you know, like, again, ECW, kind of a meta commentary on Doink the Clown gimmick. Anyways, I thought it was a pretty decent match. Like, in terms of the tag team of Josh and PN News, Big Josh and PN News, I was actually kind of impressed. I was like, oh, I kind of want these guys to win.
Yeah, and they did.
And they did. PN News dropped his rap splash for the win.
Yeah.
Which was, I think, his second rope or top rope.
Splash. I have here top rope.
Top rope? Okay, man, big dude. PN News, by the way, still around.
Oh, good.
I don't know if he's still wrestling now, but he wrestled in, like, 2012.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's pretty recent. So, good for him.
Yeah.
Next up was, this was amazing, Beautiful Bobby Eaton, of course, I don't know if Bobby Eaton ever had another gimmick besides his beautiful Bobby Eaton.
Yeah, I know.
His Bobby Eaton. He always had the exact same face. Probably the wrestler you're least likely to determine whether he has win loss or win loss.
Oh yeah, Bobby Eaton has the same face.
Win face or lost face.
Regardless,
his face was the same always. Very intense. He was taking on the computerized man of the 90s, Terrence Taylor,
Of the 1990s.
Oh, I'm sorry, of the 1990s, part of the York Foundation, which also had Ricky Morton as Richard Morton.
And Thomas Rich.
Oh, that's right, Tommy Rich. And I think a couple others. Oh, IRS was in there, too.
He was, but I read about on the York Foundation.
Okay.
He left, and then Terrence Taylor replaced him.
Who was Prime York?
Alexander York.
Oh, it was Terry Runnels.
Yeah.
Okay. And she would carry around an old school laptop.
Yeah, that was humongous.
And it had secret info that would help them strategy during their matches that Richard Morton used.
As did Terrence Taylor.
So we've always had the question about Terry Taylor. Why wasn't, because he had a great look.
Yeah.
Decent wrestler,
yeah,
athletic guy.
Well.
Sold really well. Had tons of charisma. Why wasn't he a bigger star? I'm still not sure.
Yeah, I know.
But one thing I noticed on his Wikipedia page that I never really like put two and two together on, he left and came back to the WWF 5 times.
Yeah.
Same for WCW.
Yeah.
He just came back and forth and back and forth and back and forth a lot.
Yeah, he never stayed any place long enough to get any sort of momentum going.
I don't know. I'm sure those were all... I wonder if he regrets any of those moves, if he thought leaving at any particular point was like a bad idea, if he just would have stuck it out. I don't know.
I don't know either.
He seems really happy. He's, you know, a coach at the Performance Center, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing just fine. I'm just curious, you know, why weren't you ever, why all the moves?
Yeah.
You know, why all the moves?
I mean, I understand leaving WWF when he was the Red Rooster.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
That's an awful gimmick.
Yeah, no, that was terrible.
Terrence Taylor is a cool gimmick. The computerized man of the 1990s? Come on, that's great.
This was so awesome. When he said that, I was like, I'm sorry, what? The computerized man of the 1990s?
I know, I had to write that down.
Oh, so good. That should have been his gimmick always.
I know.
Yeah. Anyway,
it was actually a really fun match.
No, too. I like this match. I like this. You know what? You know, notice watching all these WCW pay-per-views from like the late 80s, early 90s has given me such an appreciation for Bobby Eaton. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, he had that match against Too Cold Scorpio, I think, in the last thing we reviewed. But then in this one, he put on a really good show against Terrence Taylor.
Yeah.
His Alabama Slam, leg drop from the top.
Alabama Jam.
I'm sorry. But got him the win. But otherwise, this is a good move.
There was a great spot. There's a couple cool spots on the ramp where Eaton body slams Taylor on the ramp and then goes to the top rope, hits the top rope knee.
Yeah.
And then later on, Taylor hits a gut wrench powerbomb
on
the ramp. Both impressive. But yes, Bobby Eaton picks up the win with Alabama Jam, a top rope
Alabama
leg drop.
Alabama Jam. This is good stuff. Up next, we had the fake Freebirds. I call them fake, man, because come on. It was Michael Hayes and Jimmy Garvin in, like, 1991. The real Freebirds were, what, Gordy and then the other guy?
Buddy Roberts.
Buddy Roberts, maybe. Yeah, it was them. Jimmy Garvin was not part of the Freebirds. I don't like that they then brought him into the Freebirds.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not real. Michael Hayes was supposed to be in this match, but he had a bummer. There was supposed to be, like, a tag match, maybe. But then this was just, what was this? Oh, yeah, this was Marco. We really have to talk about Johnny B. Badd again. This was early Johnny B. Badd, too.
I know.
It's so bad.
It is really bad.
It's really bad. Did you notice the thing about Jimmy Garvin, though? He was in better shape in 1991 than he was in 1983.
Yeah, I noticed that, too.
He had abs.
I know.
He had abs and graying hair.
I know.
He was like one of those old bastards at the gym at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, he probably was.
Yeah, man. He looked
Maybe
great.
He still
though.
Is.
It could be. It could be. Did you see that Jimmy Garvin hip toss when he tossed Mark Merrill out of the ring?
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Good thing the ref wasn't looking because that would have been a disqualification.
At his discretion. We don't know.
It's true.
At his discretion.
Good point.
I do like when Johnny B. Badd came out, Teddy Long looked really dejected. I'm pretty sure that was in character, but he didn't look happy. He didn't look happy right there. I don't know what the whole backstory there is. Maybe it was a thing, because I know Mark Merrill at that time was supposed to be a heel. Maybe Teddy Long was supposed to be a face. I don't know.
I don't know either.
But maybe the less said, the better. Oh, man. Oh, I like this, though. At one point, Jimmy Garvin started just running the ropes and waited for Mark Merrill to get up. And when he did, he was still running the ropes and delivered a massive forearm. That was rad.
At one point, Garvin hits a DDT. The crowd was calling for the DDT. They were chanting for it.
Oh, wow.
Several moments. He hits it, but Teddy Long gets on the apron, distracts Nick Patrick.
Yeah.
Hold
on a second.
What?
Was this real Nick Patrick or fake Nick Patrick?
Oh, I don't know. You just have Nick Patrick there.
I said he's a mess. Oh, because I think he was distracted a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So while Teddy Long was distracting the ref, Johnny B. Badd gathered himself, hit Jimmy Garvin with a left hook.
Yeah.
Got the win.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff here. Yeah. It's what's also interesting about Johnny B. Badd is how long he ran with that gimmick. I mean, I think his debut was like only a couple months before this as Johnny B. Badd, and they just kept that train going to like 96.
Mm-hmm.
He was that for a long time. Man.
Next, Missy Hyatt interviews Bobby Eaton.
Yes. I don't remember what he said.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
But I think he had the same face.
Yeah, I think he did too.
The whole time.
Yeah.
Next, a really fun match between Steve Austin and Dustin Rhodes for the television title.
Oh, I totally missed. I did not write any notes.
Oh, really?
I think, no, you know what? I think because I remember, I was like, holy crap, this is like just from top to bottom, this is a good match. I had no notes on this because I was like.
You were just watching it.
I was actually watching the match, yeah. No, I remember this was good. Dustin Reynolds, he got busted up.
Yeah, so did Austin.
Austin, oh, that's right. Austin did too. He looked really good. This is for the television title, right?
Lady Blossom slapped Dustin Rhodes while after he had been busted open.
Yeah.
Blood
everywhere, man.
Yeah, so apparently for TV title matches, the time limit is 15 minutes.
Right. Oh, yeah, it had a great finish.
Yeah.
He was trying to, Reynolds was trying to wrap this up. He was trying to get the finish, so he just kept on pinning.
Well, he was trying to do a move to before he would pin. It wasn't like he was just going for pinfall after pinfall after pinfall. He would try a move.
Yeah.
And it culminated with him going to the top rope, hitting a clothesline off the top.
Perfectly timed.
Yes. Goes for the pin with like 3 seconds left,
yeah.
Less than that. And right as time expires, the ref's hand is raising up from counting.
It was really, really well timed.
Yeah, it really was.
They did a good job on this.
Really fun match. Really fast paced.
Yeah, Austin was polished pretty early, dude.
I know.
He was polished. Although that main of his, dude, that I'm glad that he shorted up a little bit, you know, a little bit after this, because it was out of control.
It's pretty incredible the relative amount of success Austin had pretty quickly after debuting WCW, because this was the 91's year he debuted.
I know.
He was television champion several times. He was U.S. champion. He was tag team champion.
And I'm pretty sure he had his pro wrestling debut in like 89.
Yeah.
It was like in USWA. I want to say it was like 89. It was really quick.
So I feel like we've seen at least 3 pay-per-views from his tenure in WCW, and all those matches, he's either a champion or wrestling for a championship.
It's so bizarre that they were just totally cool with getting rid of him like that.
I know, they've invested so much time in developing his character, you know?
I don't get it at all, man.
I don't get it either.
It's so odd. Let's see here. And then, we had I don't know if this was before or after that match, we had a great Starrcade promo. It was like the little bowl.
It was Lethal Lottery promo.
Lethal Lottery, yeah, but it was Starrcade Lethal Lottery.
Yeah.
And all these little baseball cards of the wrestlers were falling into it, and they would just fade into each other. I love that shit, man. God, I cannot get enough of that stuff. I was telling Lacey this morning because I was watching this morning. I was like, whenever I watch these, I wasn't watching wrestling then. I always just get so nostalgic for the 90s when I watch this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it just reminds me of that shit. Anyways.
Next, Oz.
Oh, this is great. Kevin Nash, who looked so much more engaged coming down that ramp as Oz, making probably crap money than he ever did.
Also,
in 2000.
Why is Oz, I assume he's supposed to be a wizard.
Correct.
Why is he so angry?
Well, he was very wide-eyed. Well, did you take that as angry?
He had a sneer.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't his face like this?
Well, he's a wizard, I assume, from like...
Oz?
Is that what he was actually supposed to be?
Well, his name is Oz.
Who's the dude from the round table? Oh, Merlin was that guy.
Yeah, he wasn't Merlin. He was Oz.
But Oz was a little guy behind the curtains. The Wizard of Oz. Oz was the place.
Yes.
I don't really know what that gimmick was. He's a wizard. I just figured that... Because the Wizard of Oz wasn't a real wizard.
No.
He was just a guy.
Yeah.
Little guy.
Well, neither is Kevin Nash. He's not a real wizard either.
That's a good point. So I don't know. I don't know what time period this character is supposed to be from. Is he a modern-day wizard? I feel like that's more of a Harry Potter type thing.
Yes.
They wear contemporary clothes.
Yes.
I don't know, man. It's very confusing, though. He did look very into it, though, and he did not look very into it 2000.
No.
When he was with the Natural Born Thrillers.
Short 9 years later. Probably felt like an eternity from
probably
99
did.
To 2000.
Anyways, can we talk about Bill Cashmere, please?
Yeah, man. He came out carrying the earth.
Quite literally a man coming out with the world on his shoulders.
Yeah.
He had a giant globe
yeah.
on his shoulders. I thought this was amazing.
It was pretty cool. They were touting him as the strongest man in the world or something like that.
Yeah, they were. Although now that I think about it, I'm not sure exactly, metaphorically speaking, why he has the world on his back, if that's the case. I mean, I guess that kind of, that's a loose metaphor there.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, I thought it would be like, he comes out, man, Bill Cashmere, the most stressed out man in the world.
Cashmere.
Because he's got the world on his shoulders, man. Usually that's somebody.
The weight of the world on his shoulders.
Yeah, the weight of the world on his shoulders, man. So I tell you every day.
Yeah. This wasn't much of a match. Bill Cashmere won with a torture rack.
Won with a torture rack before it was called a torture rack.
No, they said it was a torture rack.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they actually said.
Oh, shit, I thought it was around. Okay.
No, they actually said they actually mentioned Lex Luger, too.
Oh, so he was already doing that. Okay.
Yep.
Nice. Good for Lex.
Next, Van Hammer. I didn't know he was around WCW back then.
Oh, yeah, he's endless.
Yeah, he was a heavy metal guy.
Yeah.
Took on Doug Summers, who looked like he's at least 50 years old.
Doug Summers, I think he's the most Steve Rutledge. Like, if I were to get in the ring today,
yeah.
I said Lace. I was like,
you know who Doug Summers is? He's Earl Smothers.
No, man. Doug Summers ain't winning nothing. Not in this match. This is a squash match. Let's talk about Van Hammer for a second, though, right?
All right.
So he comes out, and what is his gimmick?
He's a heavy metal guy.
Right. And yet, they have construction workers with jackhammers that came out with him as part of his entrance.
That's heavy metal, man.
Explain.
Well, you know, you're building a skyscraper.
Okay.
What is it made out of?
Steel.
Metal.
Yeah. Okay.
You think they're light? No, they're heavy.
Okay.
Metal.
That's a good point. Again, these guys were men with jackhammers.
Loud.
Usually.
Noisy.
But what does that have to do with drilling?
Fast rhythms.
Drilling into the street?
Fast rhythms.
Yeah, okay.
The head of jackhammers are made from what? Metal.
Metal.
Are jackhammers light?
No, they're
what
heavy.
What are they?
They're heavy.
Heavy metal.
They're heavy. Okay. All right. Fair enough. You got me on board. Yeah, Doug Summers came out wearing blue underwear. This wasn't like good quality. He wasn't wearing anything underneath either.
No.
It was just, there was like a thin layer of cloth
between. He was 40 years old when this match happened.
That's how old I'm going to be soon. See? This could be me.
Could be.
I could have been jobbing to Van Hammer in 1991. Maybe I'll go back in time one
yeah.
day.
Yeah. The finish saw Van Hammer do a slingshot suplex on Doug Summers. It looked like he dropped him right in his head.
He did. Totally did. You know what Van Hammer reminded me of, though? Beef Supreme. Not from my WCW, but from...
Idiocracy.
Idiocracy, yeah. Totally. It was great. Anyways, next up we had... yeah, again... a Brian Pillman promo.
Very impassioned promo.
Yeah, it was very sincere Brian Pillman. He was like, just 2 years ago, I wasn't doing anything. But now I'm here, and I'm going to win this for the fans because they're still behind me. And then cut to 5 years later, him with a gun. Come a long way, Brian Pillman.
Yep.
Anyways. Next up, we had a Richard Morton promo.
Yeah, with Alexander York.
Ricky Morton, man. He was the exact same, too. I'd figure that they would, like, you know, doll him up and, like Terrence Taylor. Like, he had, like, a suit on.
Yeah.
He was, like, he looked a little different. Ricky Morton just looked like Ricky Morton.
Yeah, I know.
So that was kind of weird.
So they had a match, and it was to determine the very first, at least for the time, WCW Cruiserweight Champion, correct?
Yeah, a little tiny belt. Was Ricky Morton actually a light heavyweight? He was listed at 240 pounds.
Really? They said the weight limit for a cruiserweight during this was 236. That's what they said, man.
Are you serious?
Yep.
That is a very loose...
That's a large cruiserweight.
That's a big cruiserweight. Ricky Morton's only 5'11". I wonder how far he could have gone if he was like 6'3".
Okay, 227, so, okay.
Well, now he's 227.
So back then he was probably 217?
Yeah. Which 210. Is good 20 pounds underneath that cruiserweight
yep.
limit.
Yep.
Other cruiserweights of note, Arn Anderson, El Gigante, PN News.
once again, the GoPro cam came back. The referee,
Big Boss Man, came in specifically to bolster the light heavyweight division. The
Guardian Angel, light
Guardian Angel, light Guardian, heavyweight.
Yeah, light heavyweight, cruiserweight. Was it light heavyweight or cruiserweight?
It was light heavyweight.
Oh, okay. That makes sense, I guess. Nick Patrick had the GoPro helmet on again.
Yeah, he did
for this match. Decent match, fast pace.
Yeah. I like that. So it's kind of crazy. So this was. Again, Terry Runnels as Alexandria York.
Alexandra York.
Yeah, had the laptop, and in this it was a bit more because she would barely crack it open, and he would kind of look in there, and then be like, "Okay."
Here's the
it.
Thing: the moment she cracked it open, I don't think the screen saver turned off.
I don't think it did either. I'm not even sure that computer is actually on. But I like that they actually made a Jushin Liger reference during the match. They said, he's got, I'm sure he's paying close attention to this match. And I was thinking to myself, man, Jushin Liger is still wrestling today. And I thought, man.
So is Ricky Morton.
Ricky Morton's still wrestling today. That's crazy. Those old bastards. Anyways.
Yes. Pillman wins with a top rope cross body block.
Yeah, look good.
Yeah.
He was good, man.
Yeah, he was ahead of his time.
Ahead of his time.
Next, Z-Man.
The Tom Zank, the Z-Man, coming out. He had kind of a Finn Balor entrance when the camera was, like, on the ramp looking towards the ring, and he was kind of in medium close-up.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of looked good. Nobody was doing this for him, though.
No. He took on the WCW Halloween Phantom. It took one look. One close-up of the Halloween
one
Phantom.
One medium close-up on the
you
Halloween
knew
Phantom.
Exactly who it was. They were like, especially when you saw him finish the match with an obvious rude awakening.
They were like, who is that man? Oh, you can see his mustache. I'm like, yeah, you could also see his very Rick Rude eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that mask didn't cover up a whole lot. It was very Rick Rude. And I'm sorry, nobody's built like that but Rick Rude.
I know.
That dude is chiseled.
Yep.
Anyway, I mean, weren't people in the front row being like, Hey, Rick.
It was like a 30-second match. It was a squash match.
Yeah, it was. It was great. I love squash matches.
After that, the Patriots, Todd Champion and Firebreaker Chip.
Yeah, there is a. It was a. I think it was like supposed to be an army guy
and a firefighter. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're Patriots.
Took on the Enforcers. We had talked about them. Arn Anderson, Larry Zbyszko for States Tag Team Championships.
He did the thing. I don't remember him doing that.
I don't either.
Yeah, but he did that. He did it very slow, and Bruce was like, there's a little young Chris Benoit back there looking at him.
I got to say, Arn and Larry make a pretty cool tag team.
Larry's a terrible wrestler.
Yeah, he's not very good.
He wrestled. Look, here's the thing. Larry Zbyszko was not out of shape, but he wrestled like he was. He stumbled around. He was awfully confused. Arn is great. Arn mm-hmm. is probably the best tag team wrestler in history.
He's fantastic.
He always looked like he was 49, though.
Yeah.
He looked the exact same as he does now. At one point, the fireman, I think.
Firebreaker Chip. I think that was
Chip. Had a,
definitely Chip.
He had a Larry in like a hold of some sort, and Larry looked thoroughly confused as to what was going on. He was like looking around like, where are these arms coming from? Which, it's so weird that Larry Zbyszko was the protege of Bruno Sammartino, probably one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. Evidently, he's not one of the greatest teachers of all time, because Larry Zbyszko was not impressive.
No.
And he was old. He should have been like you're supposed to get better with age.
Well, to a point.
Well, for what he's doing, I'm not saying that, as you get older, you get more athletic. I'm just saying you shouldn't look so confused in the ring when you're that old.
Yeah, I know.
Unless maybe that was his gimmick, the mind started to go.
Could be, but Arn and Larry, they look cool together, I thought.
That's okay. That's good. I'm glad.
They look cool together.
That's good.
I thought they made a good pair. They're the same size.
Let me ask this. Did they look cooler than Arn and Paul Roma?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think
so. You think so?
I think so.
What about Arn and Tully Blanchard?
No.
Okay. Who else did Arn team win?
I wouldn't go
that
far.
Who else did he tag with? How about this?
Arn and Ole.
Arn and Ole.
They were cooler.
Here's the thing about Arn and Ole. I've said this before, for those who haven't heard this. Ole looks like a Arn, but with less pixels.
Mm-hmm. A low-res version.
He looks like a low-res version of Arn. It's like Arn is 1080, And then Ole is like 360 mm-hmm. or 640. How do they refer to it? 360 or 640? I forget.
360.
But yeah, I wasn't into it.
Really?
Yeah, not really.
Well, I thought they fit well as a tag team together.
That's cool. I mean, it's just a matter of taste.
Yeah, I mean, Larry's not a good wrestler, I agree. But just when they were walking to the ring and staying in the corner,
you liked
stuff,
it. You
I was
dug
like,
it.
Okay, I can feel. I'm feeling this.
Living legend.
Living legend and the enforcer. And as we said earlier, Zbyszko says, I want to be enforcer too. I want to be one of those.
Yeah, okay.
So we're enforcers.
Yeah. This is pretty cool. I think anybody standing next to Arn, though, you look cool.
I think that's the thing.
He makes you look cool.
I think that's the thing.
Yeah, man. Even these days, like, you know, you see fan pictures with him, and he's completely into the four, throwing up the four horsemen
man.
Thing, you know? He's the most.
See, horseman. Because outside of this tag team, for the most part, I don't care for Larry Zbyszko. He's not a good commentator.
Right.
Not a good wrestler.
No.
But next to Arn,
yeah,
I was buying it.
There
so
you go.
So Arn is key.
I like it, man. I like what you're saying there. It's good. We got to see, of course, the spine buster.
Yeah.
That finished off the match.
Yeah, Arn's spine buster is best spine buster.
Oh, it really is.
It's fantastic.
A beautiful spine buster. Next up, we had Eric Bischoff bringing in Paul Heyman, who hadn't been seen apparently for a couple weeks.
He was suspended.
He said that the higher-ups at WCW had said, we don't want your business here.
You're too edgy.
You're too edgy. Turns out that's true.
Yes.
However, he was there to reveal.
He says, I'm going to essentially like tear down WCW from the inside, and I'm going to start with Sting, the U.S. champion.
Well, this was the beginnings, correct, of
yep.
the Dangerous Alliance.
Yep,
this was step one.
The very first step, because out right. comes the Halloween Phantom.
Yeah. Whose mask, I think, even looked less there.
Yeah, and Rude cannot wait to get that thing off.
Because the strap was in his mouth.
I know.
He was like...
As soon as he comes out and Paulie starts talking here, he has his finger under there, and as soon as, like, okay, is it convenient for me to reveal myself now? All right. Hi, I'm Rick Rude. Surprise.
Surprise, everybody. Did I make it that obvious? Like, give him a... I wonder if he vetoed a full face mask. If he was like, I'm not doing that. It makes me claustrophobic. Okay, here you go. Here's one. Your eyes are exposed. Your mouth is exposed. Your nose is exposed. And he's like, well, this might be too much, but okay. They're like, Rick, everybody can see who you are. Eh. Hmm. Look, man, this isn't WWE.
He says, not much of a phantom, man, am I?
Oh, my God.
Anyways, Rick Rude drops a promo. He's going after Sting. And I looked into it, and pretty soon after this, he beat Sting for the U.S. title.
Yeah, man. And then he won the WCW International title, which was the new big gold belt.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that didn't last very long.
No. So after that, our main event, Lex Luger.
Yeah, man.
The WCW champion.
Mm-hmm.
Taking on Ron Simmons.
Lex Luger really is Earl Smothers. That's who Earl Smothers. He's Lex Luger. He won when he had a pile driver.
Oh, I know. I just said Doug Summers because Doug Summers actually looks a little bit like Earl Smith.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah, yeah.
That's why
sure.
I brought it up.
Yeah.
But this was a 2 out of 3 falls match.
I like when Luger came out because there was like giant, all of a sudden there were giant Luger like standing.
His letters.
Letters had appeared on the set.
Behind the tombstones.
Right, exactly. And he came out with Harley Race, whereas Ron Simmons came out with Duff the Roll. He was. They were the coaches for them, and yeah, Ron Simmons was cool.
Yeah, he was
rad. Luger gassed early.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sweating profusely.
I was like, dude, it's been like 7 minutes, and he hasn't really done much, but he's sweating like a hog. Anyways, this is a fairly plodding match. I mean, Ron Simmons was really, really good. I like him.
Yeah, he won the first fall with a spine buster, and so you had 10 minutes of the match, where there's actually a decent amount of drama whether Ron would get the belt off Luger.
Yeah, I felt like Luger was... So when I've seen Luger before, like Luger in 89, before he had the WCW title, he seemed very motivated. Maybe it was a contract year or something, but if you watch the promos in like 89, and even his matches, he was like super motivated.
Was he as bulky then as he was in 91 and onward?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good point. I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Okay, maybe he was just a little bit quicker back then.
Maybe. I mean, look at Luger there in the one where he's got the goofy open
yeah,
mouth.
Yeah, he's still pretty muscular.
He's muscular, but I think he's not like ridiculous.
Because like here, definitely slimmer.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, right?
So,
interesting.
I mean, that has something to do with it. Maybe he's just carrying too much weight.
That could be.
So it took away some of his explosiveness.
That could be. I still like to think that, like, on like the three contract years that he ever had, that's when he was, like, motivated.
He really kicked it up into the next year.
Yeah, he was like, hey, this is what I can do. Luger, we know what you do, though.
We know what the norm is.
We know the bar you set for yourself, pal.
Just because you exceed it for 6 months when your contract's up doesn't erase everything else.
I'm curious to know, like, what he ended up signing for in WCW when Bischoff said he lowballed him to, like, the extreme.
I thought we heard an actual percentage. Number. I don't want to throw a number and have it be wrong. So I'm not
we should ask somewhere.
Yeah, we should. So the second fall happened when Ron Simmons threw Luger over the top rope, but it was pretty. I don't think that was his intention.
Yeah, wasn't like Luger running towards him or something, and he sort of dodged him.
Yeah.
And he like used his own momentum to get him out of here.
Yeah.
And then the ref, at the ref's discretion, said, "This is Nick Patrick," said, DQ, Luger wins that fall.
Yep.
So Luger really didn't win anything. He just got launched out of the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just couldn't stop himself.
While he was outside the ring, he bladed himself.
Yes. And apparently it looked like somewhere up here.
Yeah.
You pointed this out when you got back in the ring, and you said, did he blade on his temple?
it kind of looked like he was bleeding from right here. Yeah, it looked like he was bleeding right here.
And so he gets back in the ring, goes in the corner, and looks like he's actually stumbling around like he's... He could be losing consciousness.
Because there's like a thing right here.
Yeah.
You're right. That's bad.
Yeah, you don't want to
go
right
up here.
There's a pretty... You put your finger right here, Luger. There's a pulse there, right?
You can feel your pulse right here.
Because there's a major vein right there.
He gets back in. He's bleeding profusely. There's something. Oh, no. We have an Eddie Guerrero JBL situation on our hands right now. Anyways. Oh, I do. I also noticed this, too. When Luger comes out, the camera lets us know that he's a heel because there's two people in the crowd with Luger, pictures of Luger with the red...
With a no sign through it.
With the no sign through it. The red cross out of him on his face.
Yep.
Anti-Luger crowd. Anyways, I like also when they went to the corners, the camera guys would get and you hear Dusty say, listen, baby, this is what you got to do. You need to get on offense, okay? Because if you're on defense, you could wrestle for 4 hours and you're not going to win nothing. But if you're on offense, then you could pick up this last foul. That advice did not work.
No.
Lex Luger went over with his attitude adjustment.
A pile driver.
Which is a pile driver.
That's what he called it.
Apparently some extra Luger stank on it. So that felled Ron Simmons.
Yeah.
And Luger retained.
About a year later, Ron Simmons would finally win the WCW World Heavyweight Championship.
Beat Vader for it.
Yep.
So, interesting glimpse into the past.
Yeah.
There. So, So what's up next?
Next week, the poll is already up on Patreon. It's already been voted on. I think we can call it right now. But the nominees were Slamboree 2000. This is, of course, when David Arquette defended WCW World Heavyweight Championship against Diamond Dallas Page and Jeff Jarrett in a Ready to Rumble Triple Cage match.
Mm-hmm.
Also nominated was the Wrestling Classic, the one-night single elimination tournament.
We're waiting on that one forever.
Second WWF pay-per-view ever.
Yeah.
Lastly, and the winner. Oh, I should hold off on saying what the winner is.
Oh, okay. And what's lastly, though?
Lastly, Armageddon 2004.
Yeah.
I mean, Kurt Angle and Russell Santa Claus during this show.
How can you beat that?
You can't.
Because the winner is... Armageddon 2004.
Good job.
You chose wisely.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, that was fun. So, yeah, that's good. Watch Armageddon 2004. Check it out. You'll enjoy it. The next time, we'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience,
and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.